93HL powered by the Tennessee City Lottery. We know one person who will spend their Valentine's Day possibly in the doghouse for making a bad bet and losing it and losing his hair in the process. That is one Buck Rising from A to Z Sports who joins us now. How's the weather? Are you wearing a stocking cap to keep the recently bald head warm on a day like today?
As you listen, Dawn, with that little chuckle, man, that was so disrespectful to come at me like that. And I heard you were doing yoga in the spot where I had my head shaved, so I don't even feel bad about it now.
Yeah. Well, That's what I heard, too.
She didn't know that.
Vomit.
I think Nick Cale said it best. He said, you look like an aging death row inmate.
Wow.
I don't look good, guys. I don't look good.
Nah, you don't look that bad. It's okay, Buck. It'll grow back.
Well, my girlfriend and I are here in Chattanooga for a scenic weekend away for Valentine's, and she's being very diplomatic about this in a way that I was not expecting, and I greatly appreciate her for that.
So she thought it was a great idea for you to bet on Indiana football.
No, she had no knowledge of the bet. Otherwise, she would have probably left me at the time that I made the bet.
So here's one thing I thought about, like stop and buy a wig like Fabio or some rock star and you could show up with long hair in Chattanooga. You could be a completely different person for a while until it grows back.
Well, I am a completely different person at this point. It's no longer Buck Rising. It's Buzz Rising, which is hugely problematic. No, I mean, I'm not that upset about it because I found my parents. Now that I have my own house, my parents have been sending me boxes of stuff from my childhood that they're trying to get out of their house because my house is apparently just some kind of storage unit, regardless, an argument for another day. And in a box of stuff was a high school senior football picture of me, and I spent like an hour staring at that, trying to like rationalize, okay, it's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that bad. Because we, you know, in high school football in the summer, it's hot, you shave your head. And it's that bad because I'm much fatter than I was in high school, and I'm not aging well, turns out, and all of these things are going to be okay because I'm Arab and it's going to grow back in a week and a half. And we'll be all right.
You are very hairy. There's no doubt about that. All right. So for those that don't know, Buck Rising and David Reed placed a bet, Indiana, Tennessee. It looked like Buck was going to be good and that David Reed was going to drop that beard. But stuff happened. And
literally the one time it happened in 474 times or whatever this year.
That is correct. I have kept this stat near and dear to my heart. I think I read it a couple weeks ago on your show, and I certainly read it on Midday before they buzzed me. FBS teams trailing this season by 13 or more points in the final 5 minutes. We're 0-471. That's courtesy of the SEC Network. Shouts to Dawn and her SEC Network cronies.
They're on those numbers for you.
All right, at Buck Rising on Twitter, A to Z Sports, of course, talking a little Titans football with us as he does every Friday. So the Titans have begun to work on the roster, and they secure Anthony Firkser, certainly an easy deal to get done. But in terms of what Anthony Firkser gives the Titans, how would you describe that?
Teron Davenport and I have talked about this plenty of times before. Anthony Firkser might have the best hands on the Tennessee Titans. Like, he is he's somebody who they legitimately trust on that team in a way where trust is at a premium for quarterbacks who are trying to acclimate themselves midseason like Tannehill did. Unfortunately, they had a ton of time together. So what they give themselves with that year extension, and really, really more of a formality on that because Firkser was a restricted free agent, and so they owned his rights. But they get a sure-handed receiver, another option at tight end in a year where they're probably going to be looking for another one, with Delanie Walker's situation being what it is. And right. At this point, we're all kind of operating under the assumption, which may not be fair, that Delanie is going to be a cap casualty. And so to have Firkser back on the roster mitigates that loss.
Well, Michael Pruitt is another guy, and he's not any kind of exclusive rights or anything. He's a straight-up free agent. So, you know, the blocking role may be occupied by somebody else as well.
Yeah, you can draft somebody for that. I mean, no offense to Michael Pruitt. Like, sure. he was sure-handed when they needed him to be, and he had a couple of big catches in the playoffs, no question. But you can draft that kind of production and that kind of blocking acumen later in the rounds as the NFL draft approaches.
He was an interesting guy, though, just from the fact that they sort of picked him up off the scrap heap. Was, you know, Texans practice squad, and they got a couple of really nice years out of him. That's just kind of part of that machine of worker bees that you have in the NFL, where a guy shows up and people don't even know how to pronounce his name, and he turned into a productive player for this team.
No, yeah, it's like finding Kari Blasingame. Now, obviously, tight end a little different than fullback, but Kari Blasingame was just on the streets when they picked him up because Pruitt wasn't enough at a fullback position. They moved him around in the backfield quite often, and he did have some success and gave him a receiving threat out of the backfield. But Blasingame could do that too. And again, so when you look at these guys like Pruitt and Firkser to a degree, although I do think Firkser has something that your typical undrafted free agent tight end does not possess, otherwise he wouldn't still be on the roster. You can find a lot of this stuff out there in free agency, guys looking for vet minimum and things like that, and you can make it work. Now, all the rest of the parts that are up for grabs, that's an entirely different story.
Yes, it is. Buck Rising, our guest.
By the way, Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, texted to say that your hair looks great to him.
Is he bald?
Yes. He is.
See, I did not expect my shame to be a rallying cry for bald men all over social media. I've received much outreach from the bald community today.
What do you do with Logan Ryan? That's the one. At $10 million, had an unbelievable season, but do you try to get faster in the secondary?
Well, you try to get faster, and you, I mean, listen, Logan Ryan, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Logan.
Yes, definitely.
I think he does so much. I know he does so much for Nashville, and I know that he would stay in, or at least he would keep his house in Nashville, regardless of the situation. Him and Ashley, his lovely wife, are very happy here, and I think they would like to continue as citizens of Nashville. But the price range on Logan Ryan, it's probably going to go, or at least the price tag on Logan Ryan, probably going to go up somewhere between $3 or $4 million. Because he had a career year and a contract year, and that makes it a lot more difficult. I think that it's not even as much about the speed, because where you value Logan is that versatile piece in your secondary that can not only cover the slot, but can blitz and is a sure tackler, and can make plays all over the field. You have to get more cost effective, and Logan, out of the four big ones that we're going to be talking about over the course of free agency, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Logan Ryan, and Jack Conklin, Logan, at this point, looks to be the most fiscally expendable.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Happy Valentine's Day to each of you. We'll celebrate this Valentine's Day with a second segment with our own friend, Buck Rising of A to Z Sports. You can check him out at Buck Rising or at A to Z Sports. Always great content on a variety of Nashville sports topics. We typically talk Titans with Buck, though, and there was a question asked of Don Davenport before we took the break. And, Don, do you want to ask once again to refresh people's memories?
Yes.
People just joining us?
We're talking about Logan Ryan, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, you know, these free agents, Jack Conklin, talking about all these free agents. And it always comes up on our show. Somebody inevitably calls in and says, well, you know, why? I wonder if Logan Ryan will take less to stay here because he loves Nashville, his wife loves Nashville, you know, whatever. The hometown discount question. What's your take on it? And, Buck, like, how different is it? Could it be within each different situation, too?
Well, starting with Logan Ryan, because we were just talking about it, and let me say this on the front end, like, I would not speak for Logan Ryan, because I think it's a tough spot that these guys get put in when, you know, Diana Rossini is asking Derrick Henry at the Pro Bowl, do you want to stay in Tennessee? Which is going to inherently, regardless of whether it's a feel-good moment for the fans or not, going to hurt him when it comes to leverage. Like, that's a tough thing for these athletes. But I know that Logan Ryan values himself as a player, and he is very, very aware of what other guys of similar skill set and certainly similar statistics are getting paid. And the ability of these guys to move back and forth so easily, I mean, allows them to maintain home in Nashville, if that's where they so choose, and to go play elsewhere for a season. I mean, we saw Jake Cutler get pulled off the couch, get housed in a condo in Miami for $10 million for a season to not play good football. Like, it's not that difficult for these guys to go play somewhere for a season or two and still have a home base where they would like to have a home base. Logan Ryan, I don't think, is going to be inclined to take a hometown discount. And nor, it would seem, whether intentionally or unintentionally, are Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, especially with the new representation. That does not at all scream hometown discount to me.
Yeah, Buck Rising, our guest. What did you make of that announcement from the, well, it wasn't from the Tannehill camp necessarily, but the news came out that he had had gone to CAA for his agency.
Oh, no, it was put out by the agency. They took a picture. Listen, they're just as click hungry as the rest of us on Instagram. They took a picture of Ryan Tannehill, slapped the CAA logo on it, put it on their Instagram feed. I make of it that it complicates things very much, whether it be intentionally or unintentionally, because this is probably going to be Tannehill's last shot at like a mega NFL payday.
Yep.
With the performance that he just had, and given the fact that when we heard these reports in the media, be it from, I know, Diana Rossini of ESPN before the Oakland game, or right around the time of kickoff for the Oakland game, reported that they would prefer to extend him, the Titans, rather than franchise tag him, and then again for me in Rappaport once the playoffs got here, and then he switched his agent, which naturally switches the message. And CAA is not about CAA certainly is not about hometown discounts, and they do well by their clients. It's a it's an all-encompassing brand, athlete, actor, movie studio monster, CAA. And both he and Derrick Henry are now Derrick Henry has been represented by them. This would not bode well for a cheaper Tannehill contract.
Is it as simple as, because people are kind of portraying it this way, like, okay, well, they'll just get a deal done with him or franchise him. That's it. I mean, is it ultimately that simple? That number's about $27 million. So can Titan fans just count on, for sure, Ryan Tannehill's going to be the quarterback, either for 1 year or for a longer quarterback length?
I don't think they can
contract
at this point. Now, I think that we are closer to Ryan Tannehill being the Titans quarterback than not, based on you know, the conversations that you have and the feeling of them at St. Thomas Sports Park about how they feel about the quarterback. They like Ryan Tannehill. They are comfortable enough with him to think that even if he does regress to a degree, that's still high level quarterback play. I mean, he was quantifiably the best, if not one of the best, quarterbacks in the sport last year. And Tannehill, they feel comfortable with his skill set. Now, again, what we're talking about with the switching of the representation, it does not damn Ryan Tannehill being the Titans quarterback for another season or three or four, whatever the case may be. But it does murky the waters a little bit when you look at how many people have cap space and need a quarterback. You're looking at the Raiders, who may be willing to adjust. I know the Colts are probably closer to Phillip Rivers than anybody, but they need somebody to challenge Jacoby Brissett. I don't know what the Patriots quarterback situation is, and it seems, nor do they, but their timelines with Tom Brady certainly don't seem to line up. So I think it makes it a lot less clear than it did a week ago.
Buck Rising, our guest.
So as we sit here right now, if the draft is this weekend, what do you think happens at pick number 29? Do you think that John Robinson is more likely to move up, back, or select? And if so, what position?
He moves up an awful lot for me to discount that. And that's kind of been the trend over the course of the past couple of years, particularly with quarterbacks. Obviously, teams don't hesitate to go up and get their guy. But John is not somebody who balks at the idea of going up and getting a player who they like. Now, it's tough before free agency takes place, obviously. But with the depth at cornerback and with the situation with Logan Ryan, given what the rest of their secondary salary look like, the most economical choice would seem to be a corner at 29.
You know what's interesting with DeAndre Walker missing his entire rookie year? He's almost like getting an extra draft pick this year, only he has a year in your system and a year with your weight room and a year with your everything else. He's going to be an interesting prospect no matter what else they do, but they do need to do a lot with that edge position, I would think.
And they have to do something. I mean, and I know the argument can be made, well, if you can't cover anybody, the pass rush doesn't matter. Well, the pass rush helps infinitely your ability to cover people, and just we've talked about this ad nauseum. They ran out of gas in Kansas City, and over the course of the season, it was hit or miss whether they would have to generate additional pressure to get to the quarterback. And we have had no official announcements in terms of Mike Vrabel calling the plays defensively, and that's not a foregone conclusion, even though the breadcrumbs that are being left would point in that direction. You're talking about somebody other than Dean Pease who's going to be responsible for identifying the spots with which to generate pressure and disguise the coverages. And it's going to change the defense. It was going to change no matter what the case this year with Dean Pease not being a part of the equation. And so it does complicate things, but they have to have something, whether it's you bank on a less expensive option, I'm blanking on his name, number 44 for the Falcons, who they just flat out.
Oh, Vic Beasley.
Vic Beasley. If you bank on a less expensive free agent like Vic Beasley, and you hope to platoon like you did with guys like Correa, and maybe you get some more out of Walker.
But don't you think it's been enough of that? Like, go ahead and just spend a crap load of money on somebody. And even if you swing and miss, at least you tried and you didn't keep trying to Band-Aid things.
No, I'm not down with that, Mick. I'm really not, because I see the Ravens recycle dudes like Matt Judon every year and it worked out in their favor. Like they have a substantially better draft track record than most teams. They give themselves the flexibility to do that, but there are more economical ways than to just sacrifice your, you know, a third of your cap on a guy who can get after the quarterback at just one guy. You need to have fresh legs. You need to have more options. If you can get greater or at least better production out of the sum of the group rather than just one part, I think it would benefit them in the long term.
Yeah, if you're going to spend big money at a position, though, that would be a position. And I'm not saying do something just ridiculously stupid, but I'm saying feel free to spend some money and just try that approach and see how it works.
Well, sure. If you're not spending 15 or 15 and a half million on a running back, you can do a lot of things. this is all made even more complicated by the guy who we haven't even talked to.
Well, a very special running back.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day to the newly aerodynamic Buck Rising.
It's not aerodynamic. I'm just cold.
Well, your weekend starts now. Thank you for checking in, my friend, and we'll see you next Friday.
A pleasure as always, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Happy Valentine's.